You enjoy that singing this morning, say amen. What a blessing. The first time they sang that song, or the first time I heard that song, my wife and I were driving down the road. I believe it's the Dixons CD, I believe it's on. And we couldn't understand the words. We couldn't make out the words. So my wife Googled it on her phone, and she found the words online. We're driving down the road listening to the song, and as it's playing, she's reading the words. Well, we both get to crying. I about ran off the road, and that's just a powerful, powerful song. Thank God He is alive this morning. Thank y'all, Brother Todd. Matthew chapter number 28 this morning. I thought I was going to preach the same message twice this morning, but the Lord kind of changed my direction a little bit. I'm going to use the same scripture as we did in the early service. And listen, it is 20 to 12, and we'll have you out of here when we get out of here. Amen. But we are going to give the Lord time, but we'll try to be a little bit brief this morning, but we want to obey the Lord, okay? Matthew chapter number 28, the Bible said in verse number 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Watch the next statement. Amen. He is not here. Amen. For he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Oh, what a statement. What a statement. Miss Jennifer, they were in the early service this morning. Their little girl, Hannah, I guess she's what, two? Probably in that neighborhood. Isn't that her name? Huh? Yes, yes. Why am I asking you something? You don't know. Hannah, the teacher told them at school about the angel making this announcement. She said Hannah's been all excited all week long talking about how glad she was Jesus didn't stay dead. Amen. And I'm sure glad this morning that he didn't stay dead. Thank God I serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Y'all glad you saved? Say amen this morning. Hey, quit hiding Easter eggs and stay with me this morning. We're talking about a risen lamb. Not a rabbit, not an egg. We're talking about a risen lamb. We're talking about a living Savior. So I said, how do you know he lives? I talked to him just a while ago. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. He talked to me just a while ago. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Levi did a search, I guess, a Google or whatever, on the interweb. And he was studying the most visited graves in the world. The most visited graves in the world. I would have thought it would have been the empty tomb, but it wasn't. But he did a little study on the most visited graves. Now listen, that's what we're celebrating about today. We're celebrating an empty tomb, an empty grave. Amen. The first one Levi pulled up was Bruce Lee. How many of you remember Bruce Lee? Y'all remember Bruce Lee, Kung Fu guy? Rip your heart out and show it to you before you die. Whoa! Y'all remember? Bruce Lee. They said that three Mongolians walked 3,700 miles to visit Bruce Lee's tomb. I wouldn't walk 3 miles to see nobody's tomb. 3,700 miles to visit Bruce Lee's tomb. Said it took them 7 months and 5 pairs of shoes to go see the place where Bruce Lee's remains laid. Bruce Lee was famous in his life for his martial arts and all his martial art movies, his kung fu movies and all that stuff. He was visited and remembered at his grave because of his physical strength. He was a pretty powerful guy. I mean, if he was here, I wouldn't mess with him. I don't want to see my heart before I die. Amen. But Bruce Lee was a bad dude. I mean, he could whoop large crowds single-handedly. I seen him do it. Amen. On the movies, y'all seen him. I mean, he was a bad dude. But he was visited and he was remembered because of his seemingly supernatural strength. He had the ability to do things that other people just normally could not do. So his grave has been visited by many. And then another one was Mark Twain. How many of you remember Mark Twain? Or you know who Mark Twain is? Tom Sawyer. He wrote those books. Tom Sawyer, or Mark Twain, has 2,000 to 3,000 visitors at his grave every year. 2,000 to 3,000 visitors at his grave every year. Now, I don't want to make you mad this morning, but I want to lay a little truth on you. Mark Twain was a wicked man. Mark Twain was a wicked man, lived a wicked lifestyle. But yet still 2,000 to 3,000 people visit his grave every year. Mark Twain was able, he was known and well loved because he was able to think up and write stories about peaceful times and peaceful places and people. Mark Twain's stories were amazing. I love Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. I love that one boy getting that other one to paint the fence. Y'all remember that? And the riverboat ride and all the stuff that they did. I remember those movies. I'm not much of a book reader. Why read a book when there's a movie? Amen? That's my theory. But anyway, I remember the movies growing up. And Mark Twain certainly could tell a story and entertain you. And he was known, what he was visited at his grave for, is because of what he thought. Because of his mind. Bruce Lee's tomb was visited because of his strength. Mark Twain's grave is visited because of his mind, his thought process. Oh, what a mind he had. I can't imagine. I've got books in my office and biographies and different things and got a lot of study books. And I read through those books. I was reading some of John Phillips. Is that his name? John Phillips. I was reading some of his stuff the other day. And I was looking at that thing and I thought, man, what a mind this guy had. What a mind this guy had. I mean, what a talent. You know, I can stand here and preach, but to write a book on it? I mean, what a mind. And I was just so impressed with the brilliance this guy had. And that's what Mark Twain was remembered for, was for his mind. And then there's a fellow by the name of Frank Sinatra. Didn't they call him Old Blue Eyes? Who's old enough to know? Oh, yeah. Frank Sinatra. They buried Frank Sinatra with a bottle of Jack Daniels in his hand and a pack of Camel cigarettes. What a way to go. Go to hell with a bottle of Jack Daniels and your cigarette. By the way, he didn't have them when he got there. Had a bottle of Jack Daniels and a pack of Camels. He and his Rat Pack, as they were known in Las Vegas, they were leaders of a lifestyle. They set the tone for the party crowd. They partied and sang and played. On his tombstone is written the lyrics for him from his song, "The Best Is Yet to Come." Sad for Mr. Sinatra. The best was over for him. If he did not know Christ, as far as I know, I've never heard that he made a profession of Christ. I know by the lifestyle that he led that he probably did not. And he's visited from all over the world for the way he lived. For the way he lived. They set the tone in lifestyle and fashion. And people will go and remember the songs and the Las Vegas shows and the parties that they throw. They said they throw some of the biggest parties ever known back in the 50s. I guess it's 50s. Back before my time. So he was visited for the way he lived, his lifestyle. Then there was another one, Princess Diana, now known as the Lady of the Lake. Her remains are on a small island in a lake on their family property. Four black swans inhabit this lake and swim around her day and night. Princess Diana is visited for her goodness and her leadership. No doubt she was a great lady. I remember watching the funeral procession and all that on the television. It was a big deal. It was a big deal about Princess Diana. She was visited for her grave is visited for her goodness and her leadership. Frank Sinatra for the way he lived. Mark Twain for his mind and his thought process. Bruce Lee because of his strength. And there was another one, a young lady, a beautiful young lady by the name of Marilyn Monroe. She's buried in the Los Angeles Cemetery. The crypt above hers, directly above hers, has been for sale at auction for over 50 years. And at one point, it reached a top offer of $4.6 million. For a crypt, for a grave. To be buried above Marilyn Monroe. I wouldn't care. Because I won't be there, amen? People bid extreme amount of money to spend eternity next to Marilyn Monroe. Boy, our concept of eternity is sure messed up. That grave is not eternity. That grave's the end for this body. It's not the end for this life. This life is going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. One of the two. No limbo, no soul sleep, no purgatory, no, what's that other one I'm trying to say? Paradise. No paradise. It's heaven or it's hell. Amen. $4.6 million to be buried above Marilyn Monroe. She is visited at her tomb because of her beauty. She had no real talent. She was just a beautiful young lady. And she became famous because of her looks. Because of the way she looked. Listen, if looks is what you're riding, you better get you something else. Because that changes. Ladies, that husband with that big old chest he pokes out, one of these days it will be covering his belt buckle. And that hair he put gel in this morning will be in the floor of your shower. Them teeth he brushed will be in a glass by the bed. Y'all all right? And ladies, I'm going to leave you alone. Because it's Easter and I'm feeling nice. And you're dressed up so pretty, amen? Looks will change. You better not base it all on looks. But everything about Marilyn was about how she looked. She was remembered for her beauty. Princess Diana for her leadership and her goodness. Frank Sinatra for his lifestyle. Mark Twain for what he thought. Bruce Lee, because of his strength. There's another one, a man by the name of Elvis Presley. 600,000 people visit his tomb every year. 600,000 people visit the tomb of Elvis Presley every single year. Isn't that amazing? 600,000? I would have never thought that. But everything on the internet is true, right? You can't lie on the internet. 600,000 people every year go to see the tomb of Elvis Presley. I was impressed with that. I mean, I've been to a lot of graves. We went and saw the tomb of George and Martha Washington. I went to Texas and I stood at the tomb, and you may not even know this name, but a famous preacher, J. Frank Norris. I went to his grave. I went to the grave of Billy Sunday. I've been to the grave of Jack Hiles. I've been to the grave of John R. Rice. I've been to the graves of so many famous preachers. But I doubt any of them has ever had 600,000 people come by in a year and remember them. But 600,000 people every year go by and visit the grave of Elvis. It says in one point there was an attempt made to steal his body. To steal the dead body of Elvis Presley. Now, you've got to be whacked out in the head to want to dig up a stinking, rotted corpse. What are you going to do with it? Put it on your mantle? I mean, something's bad sick, you want to dig somebody up. Now, there's no doubt about it. Elvis was loved. Oh, yes. And, buddy, you can offend people real easy if you run him down too much. People still get fired up about Elvis. We had a missionary come through here one time and was looking for support, and he got up here and preached, and he said two things. And as soon as he did, I just dropped my head. I said, you're done. This church ain't going to give you a dime. He said Billy Graham was going to burn in hell right beside Elvis. I thought, number one, sir, you're an idiot. If Billy Graham ain't going, neither are you. Y'all okay? And as far as I know, Elvis Presley was saved. Here's what his wife said. What was her name? Priscilla. His wife said in Life magazine, shortly after his death, shortly after his funeral, they asked her what made Elvis so depressed and miserable. He got all the money in the world. Buys people Cadillacs for a hobby. Loaded. I'm talking about could have anything he wanted, go anywhere he want, do anything he wanted, and so depressed that he had to take a handful of pills every night before he went to bed. They asked Priscilla, said, why was he so depressed? She said, I believe it was this. She said, early in his life, God called him into the ministry. And he went the other way. She said, Elvis was supposed to have been a preacher. 600,000 people a year go by his grave. What he did in his own might, can you imagine what he could have done with the power of God?
Amen.
What a waste.
Yes, sir.
What a waste.
Amen.
Now don't get me wrong. And some of you going to fall out with me. I love to hear that man sing How Great Thou Art. Whoa, man, what a blessing. That stirs my soul.
Amen.
First time I heard that, man, I felt something. Whoa, man, glory to God, that's good. Yeah.
Amen.
But man, to have heard him preach the gospel, I wonder if he'd have shook his leg. He'd have got done preaching and said, thank you very much. Amen. Bruce Lee's grave was visited because of his strength. Mark Twain, his thoughts. Frank Sinatra, the way he lived. Princess Diana, for her goodness. Marilyn Monroe, for her beauty. Elvis, now watch this, because he was the king. He was the king. Self-proclaimed and world-proclaimed, he's the king. He's the king of rock and roll. Probably one of the only artists that has golden and platinum albums in every genre of music. Talented man. But he said he was the king. Key word here, was. But he never really was. He might have been the king of pop. He might have been the king of rock. He might have been the king of country. He might have been the king of R&B. But he never was the king.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me give you one more. It's a man by the name of William Shakespeare. Next to the Holy Bible, his works are the most published works in the world. William Shakespeare. I never understood that. They tried to make us read it in school. I couldn't understand a lick of it. Hark. Wherefore art thou? It just don't make no sense. Talk. Country, man. Well, I can understand it. Need Shakespeare in the redneck version. Amen. Shakespeare's grave, they said, is visited because of his wealth, or not because of his wealth or his status, but simply for his words. Not visited because of his status, not visited because of his wealth. His grave is visited by many every year simply because of what he spoke. Now lastly, and I'm done, there's one more grave. There's one more grave. We can go to the grave of Jesus. Many people do it. They go to the Holy Lands every year by the thousands, and they walk by that empty tomb and they stand there and with their hands raised and rejoice. Why? Because there ain't nothing in there. Old Bruce is in the ground. Old Mark Twain's in the ground. Old Frank Sinatra's in the ground. Princess Di is in the ground. Marilyn Monroe is in the ground. Elvis is in the ground. Shakespeare's in the ground. But thank God Jesus is on the throne this morning. Hey, thank God we got an empty tomb. They go by a tomb to see something. We go by the tomb to see nothing. They said scientists have done soil samples in the tomb where it's known that Jesus was buried. And they said no human remains have ever decayed in that soil. I don't need a scientist to tell me what I already know. Now listen, for the things that all these people are visited, we can visit Jesus for the same thing.
Amen.
For his strength.
Yeah.
For his strength.
Amen.
Bruce Lee could take your heart out and show it to you before you die. Jesus can reach in and fix it before you die. Jesus can reach in where no doctor can go and make it a new heart. Who was it in the Old Testament? Was it Saul said, created me a new heart? King Saul said, God, I need a new heart. God said, well, we got to put you on the transplant list. No, he got a new heart. I'm glad when I got saved, I got a new heart. Oh, we can visit him for his strength. Like Mark Twain, we can visit him for his thoughts. Oh, what a mind. The mind of God. Oh, Mark Twain could write a pretty good story. But Jesus wrote the book. He said he was the Word. What a writer. What a writer. Little boy had to do a project for school. He said, Daddy, I need a good book to read. I got to do a project at school. He said, read the Bible. He said, no, you don't understand. I want a love story. He said, son, read the Bible. It is a love story. He said, well, I'd kind of like to read something scary. He said, read the Bible. It'll scare the out of you. The H-E-double-L. Amen. Read the Bible. He said, I want to read something with some action. He said, read the Bible. Most amazing book ever written. Most amazing book. I forgot how many men. I used to have all these facts. 66 books. Written by, I can't remember how many men. You know the number off the top of your head? A bunch of them. Different languages. But yet, it fits together so perfectly. The New Testament perfectly lines up with the Old Testament. Regardless of what some theologian may tell you, there's not one mistake in the entire book. I'm talking about this King James Bible this morning. Yeah, you can visit Mark Twain for his stories. But if you want the real deal, amen. We visit Jesus for his strength, for his thoughts. They visited Frank Sinatra because of his life. Because of his life. Let me tell you what I can say about Frank Sinatra was, he was a drunk and a party animal and probably a womanizer. I don't know. I don't say something, I don't know facts, but it's just the lifestyle that he lived. I know that about the life. I know this about his life. They put a bottle of liquor in his coffin and packed cigarettes in his coffin. I mean, that's what he was known for. But when I think about the life of Jesus, I think about that one verse, Levi, where it says, he that knew no sin. He was perfect and upright and holy in every way. Oh, if you want to pattern your life after somebody, go to the tomb of Jesus and pattern your life after him. Amen. We get caught up comparing ourselves to other people. I remember I used to tell my wife, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so's husband. I'd tell her that all the time. At least I'm not as bad. We'd go off hunting, me and Tim. We'd go hunting, and I'd call Angie. She said, you ain't called me all day. I said, well, at least I ain't bad as Tim. He ain't called his wife all week. And compare myself to somebody else. He would. I'd have to make him. Call your wife. Anyhow, we compare ourselves to other people. But boy, when I compare myself to Jesus, whoo, boy, I got a ways to go. Amen. Amen. We can come and visit him for his strength, his thoughts, his life. Amen. Princess Diana is remembered for her goodness. Oh, you'll never find none gooder. I know that ain't a word. Than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing about him bad. I remember when they led him before Pilate's hall to be judged before his crucifixion. Pilate, as the judge of the Son of God, looked down. And here's what he said to the crowd. I find no fault in this man. Amen. Now, we can check you out. You look pretty good for Easter Sunday. But oh, we could probably dig around. Amen. Read some of your Facebook and your emails. Amen. We can find fault in every one of you. Amen. You can find fault in me and you ain't even got to try hard. Amen. All the choir sang good this morning. But every one of them's messed up. Amen. Every one of them's got fault and failures. Amen. I can tell you about a lot of them. Are y'all listening? But Pilate, judging the Son of God, said, I find no fault in this man. Amen. Well, if you'll look at him, you won't find... Hey, if you're bad to find fault, quit looking around, look up. Yes. Amen. You'll find no fault, you'll find no failure in Jesus Christ. We can visit him because of his goodness. Yes, Marilyn was remembered for her beauty. Oh, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Elvis. Elvis was visited because he was known as the King. We can visit Jesus this morning because he is the King. He not was the King, he is the King. And not only is he the King, but he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'm talking about Jesus this morning. I'm talking about that living Savior. Shakespeare is visited because of his words. Oh, we can come to Jesus because his words. And in his words, we can have life because of his words. 600,000 of people a year go by to see Elvis. 600,000 people go by to see Elvis. For several years, I've had a preacher offer to pay my way to go to the Holy Land. I know I may be weird, but I've never had a desire to go. They got rockets over there and bombs and people blow themselves up to kill you. They said, preacher, you've just got to go and visit that garden tomb. No, I don't. No, I don't. I visited the tomb of George and Martha Washington, and they were there. I went by the tomb of J. Frank Norris, and 6 foot up under that dirt, Brother William, there he lay. I visited the grave of Billy Sunday. 6 foot, as great a preacher as he was, 6 foot under that dirt is his old body. You can visit the tomb of every one of these. You can go to Bruce Lee's. He's in there. Mark Twain, he's in there. Frank Sinatra, he's in there. Marilyn Monroe, she's in there. Princess Di, she's in there. Elvis, he's in there. Shakespeare, he's in there. They're all in there. But when you go to the tomb of Jesus, he ain't there. Why? The angel said it best. He is not here. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. For he is risen. Now listen, there might have been a day, Brother Todd, if y'all get us a song, there might have, y'all can do that In Christ Alone again if you want to. That was pretty awesome. There might have been a day, Brother William, had I been in the right circle or the right crowd, there might have been a day I could have visited old Elvis and got a Cadillac. Might have been a day. I mean, boy, he gave away more Cadillacs than you shake a stick at. I might have could have visited Elvis if I could get in that crowd and got me a Cadillac. There might have been a day when I could have visited old William Shakespeare and got him to sign Romeo and Juliet. Might have could have done that if I could have got to him. If I could have got in, if I was in that crowd. There might have been a day when I could have visited Marilyn Monroe. Might have got to shake her hand, get an autograph, if I could got in, if I could have got to where I could see her, if I could get with the right crowd. There might have been a day I could have visited Princess Diana, bowed at her royalty, if I could have got to her. There might have been a day I could have visited old Frank Sinatra and had him sing me a song, if I could have got to him. Might have been the day when I could have sat down with Mark Twain and said, tell me a story. Tell me about Tom and Huck, man. Them was the good old days. Tell me about that old muddy Mississippi River. If I could have got to him. But I'd had to have the right introductions, Brother Atkins. I'd had to know somebody who knew somebody. You know what I'm saying? I'd had to have somebody who was on the inside. Might have been a day when I could have went by and sat down with Bruce Lee and had him show me one of them moves. Might have been. If I knew somebody that could introduce me. Never got to meet any of them people. Never was with the right crowd. But I'm glad one day I got to visit with the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't have to be in the right crowd. I didn't have to be in the clique. I didn't have to be in the club. I just walked in before the mercy seat of God and threw myself at the Lord, and He took me in His loving arms and washed my sins away and loves me every single day. Thank God, and I still get to visit Him every day. I get to visit Him and actually talk to Him. Him actually talk back to me. You can stand at the tomb of Elvis and talk to your black in the face. He ain't saying nothing. Ain't that a thing in the world he can do for you. Every one of them people on that list is dead. And you can think about the God of all these other religions. Buddha, he's dead. They sang a song about old Buddha's bones. He's dead. Muhammad, dead. Confucius, dead. Jesus, alive. That's what sets Christianity apart from every other religion on the face of this planet. Our God is alive. It's not a monument somewhere. It's not something we go and bow to. Why? Because He lives. He lives. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If we could, let's just bow our head together this morning. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me ask you a question real quick. Be real good and honest. Are you saved? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You got that settled? You're 100% sure? Preacher, if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I know I'm saved. Slip up your hand. Thank you so much. Listen to me. I wouldn't come to you. I don't drag people to the altar. Just want to pray for you. If you couldn't raise your hand, if you just slip it up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. I don't want to die and go to hell. I need to get that settled in my heart. Would you pray for me? You can just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Anybody? Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you that we could stand here this morning without a shred of doubt, God, that we serve a risen Savior. Lord, thank you for the faith that you've given us to trust in what you did at Calvary and what you did that first Easter morning when you walked out of that tomb. Thank you so much, God. You've seen every hand. You know every heart. Lord, have your way in this invitation, and we'll thank you, and we'll give you glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.